Turn your Bibles with me to John chapter number 10. This is a very familiar passage, not just because Brother Doug preached from it this morning, but it is a very familiar passage to us. We've seen this many times, read over it many times, concerning who our Lord tells us He is here for us. And I want to look just at about the first 18 verses of this passage, and I want to move through it as quickly as I can because I don't want to hold you too long today. But our Lord gives us two points here, or gives us two views of Himself here in this passage. One as the door, and the other as our great shepherd. And I want us to see these two things today as we consider this passage. And he gives it to them in, as he begins to describe himself here in this passage, in this particular discourse. He describes these two examples of himself here before them in terms that they understood fully of what this was. This was something common for them to see. And as he describes himself here as the door to the sheepfold, and then also as our shepherd. Just a few weeks ago, someone put a video on Facebook of a sheep that was down in a ditch. I don't know how many of you saw that, and the guy comes along and pulls the thing out of the ditch, and it jumps up and runs probably 20 feet and just jumps right back into the ditch again. And how often we've seen that care of our Lord for us as He pulls us from the ditches and we run still toward the ditches, and here He comes again to bring us out of them. We read here in this passage, beginning in verse number 1, He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." It's been a few years ago, I was watching a video of a shepherd. Apparently was giving tours to some students to his sheep farm, and they're standing next to the fence, and he's telling them to call the sheep. And so these kids are standing there next to the fence, and they're calling for the sheep, and the sheep, absolutely everyone that steps up, the sheep ignore them. They don't even lift their heads from the grass while they're picking. And he lets each one of those kids try this, and the sheep pay them no mind. But then the shepherd steps to the fence, and he calls them, and every sheep's head goes up, and it goes toward the shepherd. This is something that's common knowledge for them in this day, when the Lord is giving them this instruction here, as He's describing to them the shepherd and the sheep. And he describes some folks here in it. He gives us some pictures here in this idea that they're at the sheepfold. You have the shepherd himself. This is the Lord as he is describing himself here for us. He describes the porter there, the one who knows the shepherd and opens the door for him. That's representative of the Spirit of God, as he opens the hearts of God's people that we might be able to hear our Lord. They're the thieves and the robbers who were not given entrance by the porter, so they would enter in by some other means into the sheepfold to try to steal the sheep. And so you have this picture here that the Lord is making for them, and that this sheepfold itself is a communal pen, to bring all the sheep at night. When they weren't out in the field, you would have the sheepfold, and they would bring all the sheep in, the different flocks that were there, and the shepherds would bring in. And so the next morning when they were taking the sheep out, they would come to the sheepfold, they would call their particular flock, and their flock would come out from among those sheep and follow that shepherd. Here the Lord describes himself to these people as they were listening to his discourse. And he tells us here in this passage again in verse 4, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." As the Lord gives us this picture, all of the saints of God know exactly what he's in reference to here. That when he called us by name, we heard him. In that moment, there was no doubt of hearing him, that that was the voice of the Lord. And we see this example given to us many times in the Scripture, and it's always remarkable to me as the Lord gives us these examples, as he shows himself, as he reveals himself to his people. One instance is there at his resurrection, on the morning of his resurrection. Mary is there at the tomb and inquiring where the Lord's body was laying. And as the Lord comes to her, she thinks him to be the gardener, and she says, "Where have you laid him? Have you moved his body?" And he called her name. Simply said, "Mary." And she saw him. She recognized him. The two men on the road to Emmaus with him that Luke tells us about there in Luke chapter number 24, is they're going along the road there. He's right there in their presence, and they don't recognize who he is. And he's talking with them about the Scriptures, and he's teaching them as they journey on their way about himself and about the prophecies that the Scriptures required of him and what he had to do and the fact that he would have to die and be resurrected from the grave. And as it got turned night and they go to turn into the inn because of the fear of traveling at night there, they said, "Won't you come in also?" And so he comes in with them there, and they sit down to break bread together, and the Lord breaks the bread and lifts up the thanks, and their eyes are opened to who he is. Our Lord is the one who calls his sheep. He knows them. He knows them by name. He calls them by such when he brings them to himself, and he's the one that leads them out. The door, we read here, as the Lord describes himself as such. He says in verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." There's only one way into the presence of God. There's only one way into his family. There's only one way into eternal life, and that is Christ Jesus our Lord. No other option, no other way that is made for us. There's no other thing that we can do. No amount of works that can be accomplished by us. It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ and that finished work that he accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary. He is that door into the sheepfold. There had been many over the years that had come claiming to be the Messiah. So by their own mouths, some rather by their own mouths, some by the mouths of their followers, but there were those that were lifted up, those that claimed themselves to be Messiah. All of those were found very quickly to be false. But Jesus is telling us here, as he's describing himself, he came according to the exact detail of more than 300 prophecies concerning his birth, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. He fulfilled all of them to the detail. He proved himself. He proved himself to be the very one the Scriptures declared. He's the only one that has ever fulfilled all of these prophecies, even to that very detail. Isaiah chapter number 11 and verse number 1, we read here in this passage. Isaiah 11 and verse 1. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The very details our Lord fulfilled, even to the detail, not by the royalty of David would he come, but by the peasantry of Jesse would he make himself known, as the Scriptures would declare, the stem of Jesse here. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, Paul would write for us here concerning, similarly here concerning our Lord's coming. He says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. He followed exactly what the Scriptures declared of him, and he did not miss a single detail. It tells us there that he that entereth in by the door, in verse 2, is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. A stranger, he says, will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. And then he says here in verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. The sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Here he defines his role for us even further in verse 7 and 8 as he comes to the individual and calls each one to himself. He does not enter into the sheepfold and gather a mass of nameless sheep. He knows his own. And he calls them specifically unto himself, each one out from that sheepfold. He calls them individually by name. And there are many, as he says, that had come before, but none of them met the criteria of the Messiah. None of them met the details of the prophecies. And then he says, I am the door. He defines himself either further by declaring he is the only way of salvation. He's the only one the porter would open to. He's the only one who will call the sheep. All others come in by some other way, and their purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But he gives life. As Brother Doug mentioned this morning, he gives life abundantly for his sheep. And so he calls himself here the door into the sheepfold, the door of the sheep, and the door. Three descriptions of himself as the door there. And then we take up with verse 11 here, and he begins, as he changes the point of him being the door, now he's describing him as the shepherd, the very one that's leading the sheep, the very one that calls the sheep to himself. Hold your place here in John 10. We'll be back here in just a moment. But go with me to John chapter 7, just a few pages back. And we read here in verse 14 what the Lord declares to the Jews here. John chapter 7 and verse 14. And we'll read down through verse 24 here as he describes himself to them, or describes this passage to them. He says, "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his rather that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses could not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." The Lord, as he's describing the differences here between their opinions of Moses and himself, he describes himself to him as greater than Moses. The one who is before them is greater than the lawgiver. It's greater than Moses. In chapter 8 of John here, verse 31. It says, in this passage, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, If we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man, how sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Well, they've been in bondage several times. That's always struck me funny. Isn't it funny how people just try to ignore history and write it out? It didn't happen. Yeah, it did. You all been bondage several times, but they said, "We've never been in bondage. We're Abraham's seed. How sayest thou you shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sins is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and do that which ye have seen, with your Father. Ye do rather that which you've seen of your Father." But here he describes himself as greater than Abraham. It's getting hard. I mean, Moses is one thing, but to say he's greater than Abraham, that's exactly what he is and who he is. That's exactly what he declares to them there, that he's greater than Abraham. And now we come to chapter 10, and here, I mean, when you think of a shepherd from the Old Testament, who do you think of? David, their greatest king. And now he's declaring himself the great shepherd. And yes, our Lord is greater than David. And he declares himself as such here in this passage. He says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The word life here encompasses more than just breath. It's every part of him. Body, soul, spirit, every aspect of him is summed up in that life. He gave all of himself for us. The word good that he uses there, when he calls himself the good shepherd, it's not the usual agathos, which means good, but rather it is kalos, which means the excellent one, the lovely one. In every way, our Lord is beautiful. In every way. And he presents himself as such here. The shepherd had a very dangerous job, especially when he was in the field at night. It would require a brave man. The Lord tells of thieves and robbers, which were not uncommon in those days. And not only were there thieves and robbers, but there were also wild beasts to face. David gives us that very explanation in 1 Samuel about killing a bear and killing a lion for the protection of his sheep. The shepherd was responsible for the sheep, and he could not allow danger to come to them. So for this reason, it was not uncommon for shepherds to be maimed or even killed protecting the sheep. And here the Lord says that he is the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, he says in verse 12, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's an hireling and careth not for the sheep. The hireling is one who has no concern for the sheep. He's given charge over them, but it's not his sheep. And so when the danger comes, hey, you have at it, and he leaves the sheep alone. That's not the good shepherd. That's not who he is. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. John declared him, John the Baptist declared him there in John 1:29. He identified him as the sheep, the Lamb of God. Our Lord came down and identified himself with us who are the sheep. And so he made himself the lamb for us. And I heard one preacher describe it as such, the lamb is his humanity, the shepherd is his deity. And I like that. I like that. In his place as lamb, he gave himself for us, and as our shepherd, he's the one that calls us to himself and leads us out. Notice also how his shepherding is defined. Here in verse 11, he calls himself the good shepherd, that lovely one, that excellent one. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 20, Paul is the writer of the book of Hebrews, by the way. I don't know if you do or not, but I do. Hebrews 13 verse number 20, he says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. He's known as the good shepherd because he gave his life. He is called here the great shepherd because of his resurrection from the dead. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number, or chapter, I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 4. I'll get it out here in just a second. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 4. Here he says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." So the good shepherd is the one who gave his life. The great shepherd is the one who is alive forevermore. And the chief shepherd, the ark shepherd, is the one that's coming to get us. He's coming again. And so this is how his shepherding is described for us in the Scriptures. And he says here in verse 14, "I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." This is the third time he says, "I know my sheep. I know my sheep." There's a couple of times in the Scripture where we read those folks that will come to him in the last day, and they'll say, as Matthew 7 tells us, "Lord, Lord, have we not done all of this stuff for you?" And he will say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." They were not his sheep. He knows his sheep. He's known his sheep from all eternity. In spite of where we came from, in spite of who our family may have been, in spite of our own failures and our own sins and our own shortcomings and our many transgressions against his law, in spite of all those things, it has not changed the reality. He knows his sheep. And he will get every single one. Every single one. He knows his sheep. The good shepherd will not miss his sheep. He knows exactly those he has taken from the sheepfold, and when he calls them, they hear. They hear, and they follow him. To know Jesus is all important. Does he know you? Does he know you? Have you heard him call you out? Has he drawn you to himself? Have you heard the voice of the shepherd? He says in verse 16, "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold." Now the fold he's talking about there is the fold of Israel. That's who's in reference there. The other sheep he has that he's speaking of are not the Mormons. That's not who that is there. It's the Gentiles. It's you and I. Aren't you thankful today that the great shepherd mentions us here in verse number 16?
Amen. Amen.
That he wasn't just the Savior. He wasn't just the Lamb of God. He wasn't just the great shepherd for Israel, but he's also for us, that we might have him, that we might know him, that he might call us unto himself. "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also," listen to this, "them also I must bring." I must bring. I love it when he uses that word "must." It's very important. He's fulfilling the will of his Father in that when he says, "I must." I must needs go to Samaria, he says. I must bring them out. They're mine, you see. "And they shall hear my voice, And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. One fold and one shepherd. The Jews really struggled with that after you get into the early part of the book of Acts. They struggle with how do we mix with this bunch of dogs that he's saving now? How can we come in amongst them? And Paul addresses that on a couple of different occasions, and one where he says he withstood Peter to the face because Peter struggles so much with that reality. How is it that me, a Jew, how can I be fellowshipping with these Gentiles that the Lord's chosen to call to himself? He struggled with this. Many of them struggled with that reality, but the Lord says that we are one fold, one shepherd. All called by the same shepherd unto himself. And he says, verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. He laid down his life for us. As they were singing the song, he was made sin for us, as 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us. He was made sin for us. He who knew no sin, he was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took our place. He became our substitute. He laid down his life. Those soldiers that came to arrest him had no power over him to bind him and take him away. I love it when they come. One of my favorite passages there in the description of that is when they come to bind him and they ask, are you Jesus of Nazareth? And what does he answer? I am. He simply declares his name. He declares himself as God in their presence. And they fall over backwards at the sound of his name. They scramble to their feet. Peter hacks off Malchus's ear. The Lord picks his ear up and sticks it back on his head. Amen. Don't you know those soldiers went away from that scene very sheepish, to use the example given here. Who is this one we've come to arrest? They had no power over him. The Jews had no power over his life. Pilate had no power over his life. Jesus laid down his life. He was not the first martyr of the faith. He was not dying for a cause. He was the sacrifice who willingly gave himself to die, not for a cause, but to die for his people, that life might be given unto us, that we might know him. Therefore, he says, doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. He would not stay dead. Our shepherd, our great shepherd, our chief shepherd is still the same shepherd. He's still the one in control. He's still the one leading his sheep because he's still alive. He did not stay dead. And so he says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And then he would say, in more clear terms, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We have a great shepherd today. A great shepherd that gave his life to make us his sheep. The very one who gave his life for us is God himself. Nobody else could do it. Nobody else could be the sacrifice for us. Nobody else could bridge that gap between us and God. It required God himself to do this. And he did so in the person of our Lord, as he would go to the cross for us, take our sin upon himself, be our substitute, making that payment for us and taking our judgment for us, that we might have life. Only through him do you know my great shepherd this day. Does he know you? Does he know you? Thank you for your attention. Brother Jim.